So, can I say this morning that the godly are going to call on the name of the Lord?
Yes.
And the ungodly will not, because they got it all together. They got it all together. They already know. They don't need to hear anything. They don't need to understand. They already got it. They don't need God. Oh, that right there in and of itself makes me want to call on Him. I do not want to be categorized, if you will, of an iniquitous person. Because I would not call on the name of the Lord. You know, there's some people that are so stubborn. Well, there's three of you. The rest of you are just stubborn and don't believe it. But, hey, all of us got a certain amount of that.
Amen.
All of us got a certain amount of that. And there's a certain amount of that that's good. As long as it's directed in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
But there's a certain amount that being having some tenacity and strength in that area is good. But when it comes to God, we don't want to resist Him. We don't want to find ourselves resisting the hand of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You and I may be in the worst of trouble that we can imagine. We may be in the biggest mess of our life. We may have let me just use this term, backslidden. We may have walked away or stepped back from the things of God, stepped back from our relationship with God. But the moment that we call on Him, the Bible said He's there. Isaiah 64 and 6 said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." The best that we've got to offer today is a dirty rag. So the Bible says. Now I know there's some of you that we feel because we've done this and we've been good here and we've done that and so on and so forth that we feel like we're more righteous. But I've got news for you. The Bible said, out of all of the good and the righteousness that you can do, you just attained a filthy rag.
Yeah. Aren't you something?
I just got a dirty rag because I did all this. And then it says, "And we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." But the beauty of it is we can tie this in conjunction, because there's no scripture that stands on its own. We can tie it right with the rest of the Word of God. In Psalms 145 verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon His name in truth." I'm telling you today, no matter how far you have fallen, no matter how far you have gone, if you will call on the name of the Lord, He can and will save you.
Right.
Oh, where is it? I can't remember where the scripture is right off the top of my head. I believe it's in Jeremiah, where it said that He will love you. And I've said this over and over again. I should have it in my brain, but I don't. I apologize. He said, "I'm going to love you with an everlasting love." Until you take your last breath, it doesn't matter how much you've done wrong. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. As long as you call on Him, He is able to deliver you. He is able to save you. Come on now. I know what the enemy's telling some of you. No, you can't. See, you failed again. You already told God you were sorry once. You already told... Matter of fact, you told God you were sorry 15,000 times. And now this is 15,001. I've been keeping track. You're nothing but a loser. But the Word of God said, I can call on Him and He'll answer. The Word of God said, I can call on Him and He'll deliver me. You're a liar. Come he's a liar. God said, I will and can deliver you. See, the reason why people can't get over that sometimes is because they're doing it in their own flesh. They're trying to overcome in their own flesh instead of through the power of God's Spirit. You keep on trying to overcome. You keep on trying to quit this and to quit that and not do this and not look at that. And all these different things that you know are not right. And you try to do it all in and of yourself and you keep on failing again and again and again. It's because you're doing it in your own strength.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what we got to depend on. You see, Satan's strategy has been to deceive the human race and by this very simple thing. And that's to get us not to call on God. You see, because he already knows. He knows. He knows. He wants, let me say this. The enemy of our soul wants us to become dependent on organization. He wants us to become dependent on religion. Let me tell you something. Religion ain't saving nobody.
Right.
Religion is what messed up everything from the beginning of time anyways.
That's right.
Religion's been the biggest mess that we've got ourselves into. And for those of you that don't know me, now you're going to know a little bit about me. I hate religion. But I love this relationship that I have with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And that's what we need. We don't need more religion. There's 3,000 of those. Everybody, oh, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to make this religion. Oh, I don't like that, so I'm going to make this religion. Well, I don't like that, so I'm going to make this religion. That's why we got over 3,000 different religions, because somebody doesn't like this one and somebody doesn't like that one, so they make up their own, and we got another one, and it's all just a bunch of jumbled up mess. And then you get people that say, oh, they start calling out to God, and sure enough, somebody says, well, if you come over here and you do this, and you come over here and you do that, and they go over to this one, and they say, well, no, you don't have to do that, you can do this, you can do that. And they're going, really? Man, is there even a God? And people say that. Are you sure there's even a God?
Amen.
Oh yeah, I'm sure because I've seen way too many people come with confusion, come with all kinds of mess and misunderstanding in their brain and all messed up in their head. Oh, and there's such peace when you know the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
There's such, oh man, this feels comfortable. Man, this feels safe. Oh, I can just rest in the Word of God. I can rest in the relationship with the Word of God. I can rest in the relationship with God Himself. But you see, the enemy wants us to become dependent on an organization, on a religion that goes through ritualisms constantly and traditions and this and so on and so forth. And it wants us to do all those kind of things. The enemy, if he can't get us there, he'll try to get us through talent. He'll try to get us through technology. He'll try to get us any way he possibly can. Just don't call on the name of the Lord. Just don't call on the name of the Lord.
Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless you.
Just thought of that little kid's story. Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit. And Brer Fox, he was so sneaky. Anybody know this story? He was so sneaky. And he set up a tar baby one day on the log. And Brer Rabbit come by and said, how do you do? And that dummy over there didn't say nothing. And so he rears back and he punches that and he gets his hand stuck. And he said, I said hello! I'm getting a little bit of the story. You know what I'm talking about. And he pushed the other one in it. It's like, man, this, oh no, I'm stuck. Well, that Brer Fox thought he was so smart. He said, I gotcha. You're stuck. And he captures him. And he said, whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. Whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. And man, he kept on saying that over and over again. Don't throw me in the briar patch. I'm going to tell you, whatever you do, Satan's telling you, don't call on God. Don't call on God. Don't. But you watch. He said, well, if that's not what you want, then that's where you're going to go. Those were the briar patch. Remember when he started singing that? He said, I was born and raised in a briar patch. He starts singing a song. And he was so excited because He thought, yeah, you thought you was tricking me. And sometimes that's what we need to do. You thought you was tricking me, devil. But watch this. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. And look who's going to deliver me. You think you got me caught in sin. You think you got me caught in discretion. You think you got me all tied down to where I can't get out. But I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Now, I'm sorry. Maybe that little story shouldn't have been told, but I'd say it anyways. That's a pretty cool story, though. I mean, really think about it. Folks, I knew all the words that he starts singing about being born and bred in a briar patch. Just what I wanted you to do. Yeah, that's exactly what the Lord would do. You call on the name of the Lord, and he'll deliver you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I lost my place in my notes. Yeah. Can you not help me? Where was I? There we go. The enemy's he's not the least bit afraid of our human efforts, but he is deathly scared of our voice being lifted up to the name of the Lord. Psalms 50:15 said, and call upon me in the day of trouble. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Do you see all those phases of calling? I entreat, to plead, beg, call on him. But then when it's all said and done, I'm going to praise you. And then after I'm done praising you, I'm going to tell somebody else about it. This was the way that the Old Testament prophets operated. Remember Elijah and the 600 prophets of Baal? Or 400? Was it 400 or 600? Was it 4? 3? 4? It was several hundred. I can't remember. Nevertheless, one guy, one bald-headed preacher, loud mouth, red-faced, crazy preacher, he starts talking. I got hair. All the others probably fit. But he gets all crazy. And these prophets of Baal said, we're going to see whose God is God. And he said, okay, we're going to see whose God is God, who answereth by fire. And so those prophets of Baal, they give themselves an altar built, and they cut up a bullock, and they lay it on the altar, and they start chanting, they start calling on the name of Baal, and they're just going crazy. They got so desperate by the end of the day that they started jumping on the altar themselves and cutting themselves and hoping that Baal would consume that fire, consume even themselves with fire. And nothing happened. Next day, Elijah says, okay, it's my turn. And he builds an altar, and he said, just so some of you don't think I'm creating some magic trick, he said, bring me some barrels of water. And they bring barrels, and they dump it on there. He said, bring me some more, and they dump some more on there. He said, bring me some more, and they dump some more on there. Three different times, bring some more water, and dumps it on that altar and that sacrifice. And then the Bible said that he calls.
Yes, on the name.
He calls on the name of the Lord. Man, fire comes down out from heaven and licks up all the water, takes the sacrifice, just consumes everything. Boom! He calls on the name of the Lord. And you want to know what? You know what's awesome? He didn't get some flamboyant. He didn't get jump up on the altar. He didn't act crazy or anything. Maybe he did out kind of the side because he knew God was going to answer. He may have stepped back a little bit and said, all right, God, show your stuff. Here you go. Oh, you're making God way too simple. No, I'm telling you what, he's simple.
Amen.
He just wants us to live with that simple type of faith and believe him for the miraculous. And that happened. And you know what happened right after that? There was an abundance of rain. He goes and he kills all those prophets of Baal, gets them all slaughtered, and then he tells Ahab the king. He said, hey, what's that I hear? I think it's around verse 40. Where are you there, Brother Sam? Verse number 40? Kings. 1 Kings 18. I think it's around 40. Somewhere in there. He said, he looks up to King Ahab and he tells the king, he said, hey, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm going to tell you what happened. If you can use this, think about this from this perspective, that when he called on the name of the Lord, revival came. I'm going to shift gears for just a minute. When he called on the name of the Lord, revival came. Sin was consumed. The fire came down and consumed that sacrifice and proved who God was. God answered, and then revival came. Oh, hallelujah. There was a sound of an abundance of rain, and he got his robe all tied up, and he said, I'll beat you to the highest hill, Ahab. And Ahab got in his chariot, and the Bible said that Elijah outran him and took off running because of the abundance of rain. I'm going to tell you today, if we'll call on the name of the Lord more than we do anything, God will bring revival. God will bring a harvest. God will rain down gloriously and miraculously. I'm telling you today, the key to success is being able to call on the name of the Lord. If we're not calling on the name of the Lord, we're not having revival. Revival happens when we get sick of doing things our way and just simply start calling on the name of the Lord. I'm going to quickly bring this to a close. Prayer, I read here recently, and I like this little thought here. It said prayer is better caught than taught. Prayer is better caught than taught. Revival is better caught than taught. Evangelism is better caught than taught. There's some things that you've got to catch. You've got to catch the Spirit of Almighty God. We can teach it, talk about it, on and on and on. But there's something about it getting a hold of your spirit.
Amen.
Again, I understand today. I'm not preaching anything that's super profound. It's the simplicity of the Word of God. If you will get yourself out of the way and call upon the name of the Lord, He will answer. God is not going to adapt to our culture, to our customs, to our comfort zones. He's not. That's the problem with so many of us today. That, and I'm going to say Christianity in general. We want God to fit our schedule. We want God to fit our lifestyle. We want God to fit in our world, not us fit in His world. He's looking for us to adapt to the power of His Word. He's looking for us to adapt to the ability to call Him on His name. But no, that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. For the Lord will hear when I call unto him. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29, verse number 10. It said, For thus saith the Lord, that hath 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Does anybody realize that here today? No matter the trouble, no matter the need, no matter the situation, the Lord already knows. And He's got thoughts of peace, not of evil. He's got some things planned and in store for you that are good. Verse 12 said, Then shall he call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. God's already got these good thoughts in mind for you already. But you're going to realize that when you call on Him, when you go and you pray, and you seek Him, the Bible said in verse 13, Seek me, and ye shall find me, and ye shall search for me with all your heart. When you do this, verse 14 gives the answer, I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you. I will bring you again. Listen, sometimes Sometimes. Sometimes trouble, trial, need, necessity comes to us. Here's just a different way to look at this. Because God's looking for some fresh praise. How's that? He's looking for some fresh glory, some fresh honor. Yes, your testimony of a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago is great, but he's looking for something fresh for you to brag on him about. So some trouble comes your way, so he's like, yeah, now. Okay, you talked about that I did 5 or 6 years ago, but I want something fresh.
That's right.
I want something today. I want some glory today. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed when we start to backslide, when we forget to call on the name of the Lord, we got, at least for me, if I'm not doing what I know I need to do, things start popping up. A little bit more difficulties here and there. Man, what's going on? Sometimes, how many of you asked that question, you answered your own question. But what's going on? You go, well, I haven't been praying like I should.
Right. Come on.
I haven't been calling on the name of the Lord consistently like I should. And closing with this thought. The church was born in a prayer meeting. The New Testament church was born in a prayer meeting in Acts chapter number 2. They were in that upper room. In Luke 24:49, it said that Jesus told them to tarry ye there in Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. He gets them to that place. Jesus is gone. What they hoped for all their life was gone. He ascended up into heaven. Really, at that point, it was a very difficult time, but they found themselves in the upper room in Jerusalem praying. It was a troublesome time, but they tarried. That word tarried, and when I saw this, I went, oh God, help me to do that. I want to be able to tarry. And that word tarry meant has one particular meaning. He said endure. There's some endurance that has to be done in that place of prayer. Prayer is calling on the name of the Lord. People have gotten upset because they've taken prayer out of the school.
Amen.
But yet they've taken prayer out of every church. We still have prayer night around here on Tuesday night.
Right.
But it is the least attended service of every service.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When it really ought to be the most attended service.
Yes, sir.
But we take prayer night for granted. Because we've learned how to depend on preaching and music and this and that. Instead of the simplicity and power. Many of us say, well, if I've got to miss church night, I may as well miss Tuesday night. It's just.
Come on now.
It's just prayer. But that's the way the New Testament church was born, was through prayer. We still have prayer before church because it's necessary for us to pray.
Yeah.
It's necessary for us. So we got people all up in arms because there's no prayer in the school, but yet they won't take them to the church and pray. They won't take the time to spend with their children at their own house in a place of prayer. My, I think that we probably ought to be more upset and say, where's that place in prayer in my home? Where's that place in prayer at the church? Where's that place in prayer? Here. Right now. They didn't have prayer in the first century Roman schools. But they did have prayer at church. If you go back and you'll be looking at the scripture, there's so much emphasis put on prayer. Would you stand with me this morning? How can anything stop God's purpose when the church begins to call upon Him? So often we'll blame external situations, external problems. And it's all we're really trying to do is divert the attention from the real need. And that is to pray, to call on Him. There was no worry. I find this amazing when we look throughout that New Testament and see the New Testament church and how they operated and what they did. It is amazing to see that they weren't really worried about the world, because their commission was to change the world. But here in this society, in this day and age in which we live, we're concerned about all the things that are coming against the church, the people that want, especially. And I understand some of you say, well, that's not that much. It may not be here. It may not be here as much in the United States, but I'm talking, this church is way bigger than right here. God's church is way bigger than a church in a city, in a place. It's way bigger. I'm talking about God's people at large. Amen. The church was commissioned to change the world. Are we going to continue that long line of people that are known? Hear me. If I'm known for anything, I want to be known as that man that knew how to call on the name of the Lord. Brother Avery, we're talking yesterday, and he said, what about Enoch? We don't know anything. Why don't we know anything about that guy? He walked with God and he just poof, gone. What is it to walk with God in that place, in that dimension? And I said, you know what, bro? I said, I wish I knew. So because I try to mimic everything that he did, because I'd like to get out of here too. If Scripture would have detailed everything that Enoch did to where he was just taken poof, man, I would have followed every step. Man, let me out of here. Huh? But he didn't. He left this, if you will, this question. And here I am today, but he didn't leave me in just total question, but he's given me some answer. He said, call on me. Man, there's nothing that I believe brings the Lord more joy, more happiness, more contentment than us calling on Him. I believe today it's His good pleasure, because it's the Bible that tells us it's His good pleasure to give good gifts unto His children. I believe it's His good pleasure to bless His children. I believe it's His good pleasure. He even gave us example. He said, talking about a son-father relationship, if he asks you for a piece of bread, you're going to give him a stone? If he asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a serpent? What? Of course you're not going to do this because you're a good dad. But how much more? How much more? How much more? See, but I think we've become content, and we bought into the lies of the enemy to be content right where we're at and just deal with the problem and just deal with the situation. Instead of saying, no, Lord, I'm not only your servant, I'm your son, and I'm your bride, and I'm not content with where I'm at. I need you to answer. I need you to intervene. I'm calling upon you, and I'm standing on your word. You said you would answer. And God, when you do answer, I promise you this one thing. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to let everybody know how you delivered me. I'm going to let everybody know how you saved me. I'm going to let everybody know about your goodness and your mercy. Because that's what it really is to call on the name of the Lord. And the first church did that in the book of Acts. It tells us that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. One of our greatest mistakes is that we talk about our problems to each other, but we don't talk about them to God. We'll talk about our problems to each other for hours on end, asking one another, what do you think I ought to do? What do you think I should do here? What do you think I should do there? Instead of taking it to the Lord. God, I've got a problem. I've got a situation. And I need an answer. Now, I asked you earlier, those of you, you got something that you need an answer for. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody here even this morning that you've been discouraged. You've been discouraged because you've prayed for it, and you haven't seen the answer come yet. Can I encourage you today that God is not a God that He can lie? God is not a God that He can lie. There's some of you, your answer is just on its way. It's on its way. It's like when Daniel had fasted and prayed those 21 days or however long it was. And the scripture said that the prince of Persia had prevented him from coming and answering that prayer. From getting the answer there. That there is a war going on in the spirit realm. There's a war. God hears the prayer. And He's sending the answer. And sometimes the enemy wants to prevent the answer from coming. Why? Because he wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be disheartened. He wants you not to rely on God. He wants you to rely on yourself. He wants you to do everything on your own. But God's appealing to some of you today to call on Him. For the scripture said, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Is there anybody here that wants to call on the name of the Lord? That you have a situation today. You have a need today. You have a troublesome situation today that God needs to intervene. Is there anybody? I got a need. I've got a situation. I've got a circumstance that I don't know what to do. I am literally at my wit's end. I'm about ready to pull my hair out. I've thrown my hands up. I don't know what to do. I'm telling you today, my friend, call on the name of the Lord. Have confidence in His Word. He is not a God that He can lie. Oh God, hear the cry of Thy people today. Hear the cry of these men today. Hear the call. Come on, somebody. Right now, will you reach out to, whether down here at this altar, whether at your seat, wherever you're at, would you call? Come on. Can you lift up your voice and call? Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the God. I need saved today. I need some salvation. God, I need some. What do you need? What do you need? Call on the name of the Lord. God, I've been struggling with alcohol addiction. I've been struggling with drug addiction. I've been struggling with pornography. God, I need some deliverance. I don't like what these things are doing to my life. God, God, I need some deliverance. Would you deliver me today? Would you deliver me? Come on, call on him. Beseech him today with your whole heart. God, I've got some family problems. God, I've got some financial problems. And I may be part of the problem, God. So if I am, fix me. Help me. I want my family together. I want my finances together. God, I've got some problems on my child. I've got some situations on my child that I don't know what to do, but you do, God. And I'm calling on you.